Chapter 5.
We did, however, print a lot. The headline proclaimed that Rhoda Casselaw had been raped and murdered, and that Danny Padgett had been arrested for it. The headline could have been read from 20 yards down any sidewalk around the courthouse square. Under it were two photos, one of Rhoda as a senior in high school, and one of Padgett as he was led into the jail in handcuffs. Wiley had ambushed him all right. It was a perfect shot, with Padgett sneering at the camera. There was blood on his forehead from the wreck and blood on his shirt from the attack. He looked nasty, mean, insolent, drunk, and guilty as hell, and I knew the photo would cause a sensation. Wiley thought we'd better avoid it, but I was 23 years old and too young to be restrained. I wanted my readers to see and know the ugly truth. I wanted to sell newspapers. The photo of Rhoda had been obtained from a sister in Missouri. The first time I talked to her by phone, she had had almost nothing to say and quickly hung up. The second time, she thawed just a little and said the children were being seen by a doctor, that the funeral would take place Tuesday afternoon in a small town near Springfield, and as far as the family was concerned, the entire state of Mississippi could burn in hell. I told her that I understood completely, that I was from Syracuse, that I was one of the good guys. She finally agreed to send me a photo. Using a host of unnamed sources, I described in detail what happened the previous Saturday night on Benning Road. When I was sure of a fact, I drove it home. When I wasn't so sure, I nibbled around the edges with enough innuendo to convey what I thought happened. Baggy Suggs sobered up long enough to reread and edit the stories. He probably kept us from getting sued or shot. On page 2, there was a map of the crime scene and a large photo of Rhoda's home, one taken the morning after the crime, complete with cop cars and yellow police ribbon everywhere. The photo also included the bikes and toys of Michael and Teresa scattered around the front yard. In many ways, the photo was more ominous than one of the corpse itself, which I didn't have but tried to get. The photo stated plainly that children lived there, and that children were involved in a crime so brutal that most Ford Countyans were still trying to believe it really happened. How much did the children see? That was the burning question. I didn't answer it in the Times, but I got as close as possible. I described the house and its interior layout. Using an unnamed source, I estimated that the children's beds were about 30 feet from their mother's. The children fled the house before Rhoda. They were in shock by the time they got next door. They were seen by a doctor in Clanton and were undergoing therapy of some nature back home in Missouri. They saw a lot. Would they testify at a trial? Baggy said there was no way. They were simply too young. But I pulled the question out of the air and posed it anyway, to give the readers something else to argue and fret over. After exploring the possibility of parading the children into a courtroom, I concluded that experts agreed that such a scenario was unlikely. Baggy enjoyed being considered an expert. Rhoda's obituary was as long as I could possibly make it, which, given the tradition of the Times, was not unusual. We went to press around 10 p.m. on Tuesday night. The paper was in the racks around the Clanton Square by 7 a.m. on Wednesday. The circulation had dropped to fewer than 1,200 at the time of the bankruptcy, but after a month of my fearless leadership, we had close to 2,500 subscribers. 5,000 was a realistic goal. For the Rhoda Casselaw murder, we printed 8,000 copies and put them everywhere. By the doors of the cafes around the square, in the halls of the courthouse, on the desks of every county employee, in the lobbies of the banks. We mailed 3,000 free copies to potential subscribers as part of a sudden, one-time special promotion effort. According to Wiley, it was the first murder in 8 years. It was a Padgett. It was a wonderfully sensational story, and I saw it as my golden moment. Sure, I went for the shock, for the sensational, for the blood stains. Sure, it was yellow journalism, but what did I care? I had no idea the response would be so quick and unpleasant.